Hello, agents, and welcome to the 26th episode of the Ingress Insights podcast, hosted by myself, Pokemon Trainer Jay. Ingress Insights is a podcast all about the 90 game Ingress, where you can get news, updates, rumours, and anything to do with Ingress, and sometimes Ingress adjacent things, such as Wayfarer. In this week's episode, we're going over the update we've received for Buried Memories, getting information on there. A bit about April Fools and updates to Apex really is our main things. So that being said, I'm going to move into the giant post about the Buried Memories Anomaly season first of all. On the 5th of April, the Ingress team updated their news site to put up a post about the Buried Memories Anomaly season. This is broken down into parts, I'm probably going to go over those parts all separately, just to give myself a bit of a break in between sections. So, they start off by showing the Anomaly badge and the Supporter badge, and say from April to June, agents can take part in the Buried Memories Anomaly season, competing across multiple events to earn the most season points for their faction. In addition, by taking part in these events, agents will earn one or more of the Buried Memories Agent Profile medals. Early intelligence suggests the faction that wins the Buried Memories season will affect a ritual reaching far into the past. I'll cover what I think that might be later. But the overview for it that they share first of all is that the Buried Memories Anomaly season consists of three components. So the first one is the Global Link and Field Op, we mentioned before. This occurs globally, as it implies, and starts on the 12th of April, 4 PM UTC, and runs until the 6th of May 2024, 4 PM UTC. They've included a Google Calendar link there in their post if you want to add it to a calendar, just so you've got that as a reminder, which is quite useful. And it says that agents around the world can participate in this global operation, which involves creating and destroying links and fields with bonus points for collaboration and field scale during the dates listed above. By achieving a specific milestone point, agents will be able to earn the Buried Memories Operation Medal at either Bronze or Silver tier, and also contribute to their faction's season goal. The faction with the greater number of medal recipients will gain an advantage towards their season score. And I'll cover that in more detail in a bit. It's just the overview, just a reminder. And then it's got Shard Skirmishes as the next overview. So on the 27th of April, 4 PM to 5 PM local time at 25 APAC Asia Pacific locations. On 11th of May, which is 4 PM to 5 PM local time at 25 EMEA, Europe, Middle East, Africa locations. And on the 8th of June, 4 PM to 5 PM local time again, at 25 Americas locations. And all of those similarly have a Google Calendar icon, so you can download the calendar and get that on your device for easier to remember those if you've got it on your phone. And it says the exact sites will be revealed approximately 10 days prior to their event date. At these events, agents can take part in a 1 hour long operation to move shards along links. By traversing shards greater than a defined minimum distance, points will be scored towards a faction's season score. By interacting with battle beacons, hacking portals where shards are currently present, agents will be able to gain the Buried Memories Anomaly Medal. Again, I'll cover the shard skirmish bit in a little moment, this is just the overview. And Anomaly Sites is the next part of the overview. Again, these all have a location pin for Google Maps, as well as a calendar invite, so you can get the location and add the calendar invite to your phone. So there's the weekend of the 18th of May in Naha, the weekend of the 25th of May in Chicago. Again, that one got moved due to another event happening on the 18th of May in Chicago that was non-Ingress related, but would have filled up all the hotels. And then the weekend of 15th of June at two sites in Kuching and Budapest. These sites, agents can take part in multiple score-based competitive operations such as urban and stealth ops, portal battles and shard operations. The outcome of these events will contribute to a faction's season score. Urban ops and stealth ops availability may vary site to site. Interacting with Battle Beacon's anomaly sites will enable agents to earn the Buried Memories Anomaly Medal. And then the final part on here is the Buried Memories Anomaly Season scoring. The final outcome of the Buried Memories Anomaly Season will be based on the total season score accrued by each faction from all of the above components. And the faction with the higher final score will claim the season. And then it's got details on there of where it will pop up. And they do also include an events map that's got all the XM anomaly locations on there, such as Chicago. They will add the Shard Skirmish locations, so the APAC ones approximately be added on the 17th of April, May 1st for the EMEA ones, and May 29th for the America Shard Skirmish locations. So I'll move on and talk about the global link and field op details next. The first event, as I mentioned, is the Global Link and Field Op. This is something that every agent can participate in no matter where they are in the world, and it has tiers similar that we've seen to Chronos and the Cryptic Memories Global Op. For this one, it begins on the 12th of April at 4 p.m. UTC and concludes on the 6th of May at 4 p.m. UTC. As I said earlier, there's a little calendar emoji there that you can click on and get the event added to your calendar. And it says, during the operation window above, a metric Buried Memories Global Op points will become visible on all agent profile screens. This metric will track agents' individual scores as they earn points for performing the following actions. So the first ones are pretty straightforward. So destroying one link will get you 1 point, creating one link will get you 2 points, and destroying one field will get you 4 points. It becomes a bit more confusing when you come into creating a field. So creating a field gives you base points of 4 points. That's pretty straightforward. But you do get extra bonus points as well. So the extra bonus points are if your field is less than 20 MU, mind units, you get 1 point times the collaboration multiplier. Between 20 and 400 MU, 2 points times the collaboration multiplier. 401 MU and 40,000 MU is 4 points times the collaboration multiplier, and more than 40,000 is 5 points times the collaboration multiplier. So it notes down here the bonus points on the collaboration. So these bonuses are awarded when more than one agent is involved in the creation of a field based on unique link owners. So two agents collaborating on a field, so that would be two owners over three links, gets a 2x multiplier of MU bonus. Three unique agents collaborating on a field, so that's three owners over three links, gets 3x multiplier of MU bonus. Field creation and associated bonus points will be awarded to all agents who contribute to the link towards the field. And then here it mentions about the tiers that you need to get the medal. So to achieve the bronze tier season operation medal, an agent must earn at least 1,000 points during the operation window. To achieve a silver tier season operation medal, an agent must earn at least 10,000 points. Yes, 10,000 points during the operation window. 200 season points will be awarded to... 200 season points will be allocated proportionally based on the number of agents who earn either one of the two season operation medals. Agents who earn the silver tier will be worth 10 times the value of bronze tier agents in this proportional allocation, and the score will be rounded to one decimal place. Results will be announced within 1 week after the Global Op concludes in a dedicated season score update on ingress.com/news. So with the previous operations, it didn't matter which medal you earned, they all counted the same points wise. But this one, they're pushing more agents to go for the advanced medal, the silver medal, over the base bronze medal, as those points will then be worth 10x more. So it seems a bit confusing, there's a lot of points and details on there, but it will become clearer as we progress and as we go through. I'll try and do updates on how I'm doing in it each week as we go forward to give people an idea. But if you wanted to, for example, go for getting 1,000 points just to get the badge, you could destroy 1,000 links or make 500 links. That would get you the badge pretty easily. So obviously things like Machina links will count as well if you're destroying links there and then creating your own links from following that. But that's it for the global op. As I said, that starts on the 12th of April, so we've got a little bit of time to get prepared for that. And then next, I'm gonna go over the Shard Skirmishes. These are replacing the Shard Knights, but they sound very similar, just with a few extra little bits thrown in. Agents have just got used to Shard Knights, and now the Shard Skirmishes are just happening a little earlier in the day, between 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. local time. So something different they're trying this time around, and having it as a skirmish rather than knight. So I'm gonna read through the details they've published for that. So at Buried Memory Shard Skirmishes, agents will engage in an hour-long shard-based operation. 13 shards will manifest in multiple waves, and agents will face the challenge of moving each of these shards a distance greater than 250 meters in one jump. Shards that make a jump of this length will be scored for the faction that created the link the shard jumps on, earning 0.5 points per shard. Participating in these events will allow agents an opportunity to earn the Buried Memories Anomaly Medal. As I said, these operations take place at 4 p.m. local time in 75 cities across April, May, and June. Each skirmish will contribute up to 6.5 points towards the season score, based on the amount of shards scored. 10 days prior to the Shard Skirmish, an ornamented portal will manifest within a chosen city, marking the center point of the operation. 48 hours prior to the manifestation of shards, 13 portals will become ornamented, making locations where shards are expected to manifest. These ornaments will be color-coded based on the three waves in which shards will manifest. These portals will be within approximately a 5 km radius of the center point. Shards will manifest in three waves, and each wave of shards will make one jump before demanifesting. An exception to this is the final wave of shards, which will remain at their final location 4 hours following the conclusion of the event. Any shard that is able to travel a link longer than or equal to 250 meters in length will be scored for the faction that owns the link the shard traveled on. Following their jump opportunity, a wave's shards will demanifest, and the next wave shards will manifest. The final season score impact of a day's shard skirmishes will be published shortly after completion of the day's events. Each scored shard, as mentioned, will be worth 0.5 season points for the faction that scored it. Agents can earn the Buried Memories Anomaly Medal by interacting locally with battle beacons deployed by NIA Section 14 on the shard spawn portals approximately 18 minutes before the planned shard jump. Agents may also earn the Buried Memories Anomaly Medal by hacking any portal where a shard is present. The final wave of shards will remain present for 4 hours past the conclusion of the event. Interacting with the battle beacons and hacking the shard portals will earn agents 5 points towards the Buried Memories agent stat, thus earning them the Buried Memories Anomaly Medal. In this context, as before, last time it was in place as well, remote recharge does not count as interacting with a battle beacon, so you need to actually be in the city at the location physically. You can't just remote recharge and think that will count. So a shard skirmish will play out as follows. So at 4 p.m. local time, wave one shards manifest, that's three shards. At 4:15 p.m. local time, wave one shards jump, and wave two shards manifest, that's four shards. At 4:20 p.m. local time, wave one shards demanifest, and then at 4:30 p.m. local time, the wave two shards jump, and the wave three shards manifest, that's six shards for wave three. And then at 4:35 p.m., 5 minutes later, the wave two shards will demanifest. And then at 4:45, the wave three shards will jump. And then, as it said, pretty long later on, at 8:45 p.m. local time, the wave three shards will demanifest. So you've got a bit of time after to interact with the shards. If you spent time kind of running around making other links, getting to travel, you can still go there and get that. A new thing for this is that portal immunity for Aedra Refractus and Jarvis viruses will experience instability globally during Shard Skirmish Anomaly windows. So I'm going to cover that instability next. Portal immunity to the flip cards is a new thing to me. I'm not sure whether it's happened before, but this is happening during both the Shard Skirmishes and Anomalies globally. So even if you're not at the Anomaly or the Shard Skirmish, you will have issues with the portals being flipped. So it says that during Shard Skirmishes and Anomalies, immunity times for Aedra Refractus and Jarvis viruses will experience instability. Immunity instability will affect all portals globally during the time period it is active. On Shard Skirmish days, the instability will begin approximately 1 hour prior to the beginning of Shard Jumps at the first light of the day, and will conclude approximately 1 hour after the end of Shard Jumps at the last light of the day. On Anomaly days, the instability will begin approximately 1 hour prior to the beginning of Anomaly Battle Beacon activities at the first light of the day, and will end approximately 1 hour after the conclusion of Anomaly Battle Beacon's activities at the last light of the day. During the instability windows identified above, immunity times will vary between 5 and 55 minutes, and this immunity time will randomly change every 30 minutes. When a portal flip is attempted during this time using a Jarvis virus or Aedra refractor, the time of the last flip will be compared to the current immunity time, which may be different from the immunity time when the last flip was performed. The immunity times for Aedra refractors and Jarvis viruses will always be equivalent during the instability window, so whichever one you're doing, it will be the same time whether you're using an Aedra or a Jarvis. Neither faction will be aware of the time or duration of the changes to immunity in advance, and no mechanic will exist to allow a faction advance knowledge of this information, so there'll be no media, passcode, dead drop intel, special ops reward that tells any faction what's the time's going to be. A list of all immunity time changes, both the time at which the time change was made and the duration which it was changed to, will be published following conclusion of a day's events. A hash of that list will also be published in advance. So as I said, that's a new thing to me, but it's something that's going to be affecting everyone globally, so it'll be interesting to see how that changes things as people are trying to pal out, even if they're not at anomaly seasons. So I'm going to move on now and talk about the main anomaly and how that's going to be scored. So we now move on to the main XM anomalies on the ground and the points and procedures there. So each anomaly site is worth a total of 200 season points. You can obtain up to 93 season points coming from the Anomaly Zone event of Battle Beacons, 93 season points from Anomaly Zone event Flash Shards, 7 season points from Stealth Ops attached to respective site, and 7 points from Urban Ops attached to respective site. These season points will be allotted based on the faction's performance during the on-site anomaly events or special ops. In the event of site/phase cancellations, the site/phase will have no impact on the season score. As noted there, the portal immunity for Aedra refractors and Jarvis viruses will experience instability globally during the anomaly windows, and the main Battle Beacon procedure and scoring for the anomalies is that a 3-hour portal battle will take place at Anomaly Zone portals using NIA deployed rare Battle Beacons. Anomaly Zone portals will be ornamented before and during the anomaly. The final score of the portal battle will be used to proportionally divide the 93 season points available, rounded to one decimal place. The 3-hour period from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. local time will be divided into 6 waves of rare Battle Beacon deployments. Times are approximate and may vary slightly. So wave 1 of Battle Beacons is 2 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. Wave 2, 2:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Wave 3, 3 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Wave 4, 3:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. Wave 5, 4 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. And wave 6, 4:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. Rare Battle Beacons will be deployed by NIA Section 14. A subset of Anomaly Zone portals will be activated as volatile portals that are high-value targets worth 3 times that of the non-volatile ones. And the Ingress news posters show how volatile versus non-volatile looks, but as it's just audio on this, I can't show you that, but I will link to the post, obviously. And Battle Beacons are scored across 3 checkpoints, 3 minutes apart. Each checkpoint contributes a score towards that Battle Beacon's final score, and the score contribution increase at each checkpoint. Each non-volatile battle beacon is worth 2 plus 3 plus 4 equals 9 beacon points. Category classification will have no impact. For example, if the Enlightened captures checkpoint 1 and Resist captures checkpoint 2 and 3 of a non-volatile battle beacon, the battle result would be ENL 2 for the first one as I mentioned there, and Resistance 7, so they've captured 3 and 4. Each volatile battle beacon is worth a total of 6 plus 9 plus 12, so 27 beacon points. Category classification again will have no impact. So for example, if the Enlightened captures checkpoint 1 and the Resistance captures checkpoints 2 and 3 of volatile battle beacon, the battle results would be ENL 6, because they captured the first one, and Resistance 21, because they've captured the one worth 9 and the one worth 12. The final score for each faction in the portal battle will be its maximum score from any of the beacon battle waves during the anomaly period. 93 season points will be distributed proportionally between the factions based on their final score. So they do provide an example there to show what happened with the battle beacons. I'll link to the post as I mentioned, but you can also look at the previous Cryptic Memories Anomaly season to see how that happened and what the points were like from there. And then, as I mentioned, there is a flash shards procedure and scoring. So at each anomaly zone, 4 target portals per faction and 6 waves of 13 shards each will manifest. The first 4 shards secured per wave on a faction's target portal will score 1 point per shard for that faction, regardless of which faction controlled the target portal at the time of the shard landing. Any additional shards secured after the 4th shard on a given portal, on a given target portal, are worth 0 points. So shards and target portals are scheduled as follows, all in local time. So at 1:59 PM local time, all target portals will materialise. Starting at 2:06 PM, batches of 13 shards will materialise at 30-minute intervals. Starting at 2:15 PM, all shards will begin travelling along eligible links approximately every 10 minutes, and each wave of shards will make 3 joints before demanifesting. The last shard movement will occur approximately 5:05 PM, and all shards and target portals will dematerialise at around 6 PM local time. During each wave of shards, factions will attempt to capture as many shards as possible on their target portals, taking into account that shards in excess of 4 on a target portal will have no value. The final raw score for each faction in the Flash Shards battle will be its maximum score from any of the shard waves during the anomaly period. 93 season points will be distributed proportionally between the factions, rounded to one decimal place based on their final raw scores. Again, they offer an example there to show what the scores could be, and details in the blog to show what the target portals for Enlightened Resistance look like, and what a shard looks like if you've not seen one before. Or the Stealth Ops and Urban Ops scoring. It mentions that at a Stealth Ops or Urban Ops, the cadre will run a number of faction versus faction challenges. 7 season points will be allocated proportionally based on the number of challenges each faction won during the respective ops. Challenges that ended in a tie will not be taken to any point allocation. And then the next section just runs over how exactly you can earn the Buried Memories Anomaly Medal. It's a lot of information, so I will read through that as well. The next section of this long post goes over that there are 2 ways an agent may earn the in-app Buried Memories Anomaly Medal. So either from an anomaly site or from a shard skirmish. To earn a medal from the anomaly site, it's any agent who's interacted with 5 or more NIA section deployed pull beacons. Anomaly zones will earn the in-app anomaly medal after those battle beacons end. Agents are considered interacting with a battle beacon if they deploy or upgrade a resonator. Upgrading doesn't count, as always. Attack or destroy a resonator, destroy a portal mod, or destroy a link. It also counts for recharging resonators, and this does include a remote recharge for the anomaly sites. So if you can get to a recharge room, you can do that and still earn the medal without being there. The medal will be awarded after an agent has reached 5 qualifying battle beacon interactions after the battle beacons end. Agents who've already earned the in-app anomaly medal in an early event or phase will not receive a second anomaly medal. A Buried Memories agent stat will be added to your agent profile for the duration of the Buried Memories anomaly season to help you monitor your individual progress. As they said, you can also earn it for a shard skirmish. That's any agent who's interacted locally with one or more NIA Section 14 deployed battle beacon to a shard spawn. Portal of Shards will earn 5 points towards the Buried Memories agent stat, and thereby the Buried Memories Anomaly Medal. Such battle beacons will be deployed approximately 15 minutes prior to the shard jump time associated with that portal. In addition, by hacking any portal where a shard is currently present, an agent will earn 5 points towards the Buried Memories agent stat, also earning the Buried Memories Anomaly Medal. The final wave of shards at a skirmish site will remain present following the last jump for a period of approximately 4 hours, and agents considered interacting with the battle beacon locally if they again deploy or upgrade a resonator, attack or destroy a resonator, destroy a portal mod, destroy a link, recharging a resonator locally, so within 40 meters. And just to note, remote recharge does not qualify, and upgrading your own resonator does not count for that badge either. So you can't get the points for just doing that. And then there are a few additional anomaly on-site events in the next section that I'm going to cover over now. As always, with the XM anomalies on the ground, there's additional events at those. So I'm just running through those quickly on here as well. So from the 17th of May to the 19th of May, the NL1331X portal will be at Naha, and then they've got their NIA TKO Stealth Ops on the 17th of May at 5 p.m. local time, followed by the NIA TKO Urban Ops on the 18th of May at 10 a.m. local time. Following that, there'll be an Ingress Mission Day on the 19th of May, and then Operation Clearfield on the 19th of May at 10 a.m. And there's also an agent-organized marketplace where you can sign up for a booth if you want to sell Ingress-related gear. You can do that there and get further details of how you sell and what commission and things like that you need to pay to Niantic. Turning to Chicago, they've got the NL1331X portal there from the 24th of May to the 26th of May. And their NIA TKO Stealth Ops is Friday the 24th of May, 5 p.m. local time. And they've got their NIA TKO Urban Ops on the 25th of May at 10 a.m. Their mission day is the day after the main anomaly, being the 26th of May, and they've got Operation Clearfield at 10 a.m. on the 26th of May as well. Turning then to the June XM anomalies in Kuching, they've got the NL1331X portal rocking up from Friday the 14th of June 2024 to Sunday the 16th of June 2024. The NIA TKO Stealth Ops is Friday the 14th of June at 5 p.m. local time, followed by, as with all the others, NIA TKO Urban Ops on the 15th of June at 10 a.m. The Ingress Mission Day, same as all the others, runs the Sunday after the 16th of June all day, and Operation Clearfield starting Sunday the 16th of June at 10 a.m. In Budapest, their thing is pretty much the same. So they've got NL1331X portal showing up 14th of June to the 16th of June. The NIA TKO Stealth Ops, Friday the 14th of June at 5 p.m. local time. And NIA TKO Urban Ops, 15th of June, 10 a.m. local time. Ingress Mission Day happening all day Sunday the 16th of June. And Operation Clearfield at 10 a.m. on the 16th of June as well. There are details on the blog post about what exactly NIA TKO Urban Ops and Operation Clearfield are. So if you need further details, I'm not going to go through them now. I might do them in little features in future episodes, but you can get the details there. And then just below that, there are links to the relevant ENL and resistance contacts for joining the anomaly site. So the various Telegram groups that people have set up and ways of communication. So if you hover over the links, you'll see there like Enlightened Rocks contacts and Wooly Blue contacts as well to join and get verified and help out your faction. And just finally, finishing off this post, there is a Buried Memories bonus week. We've not long finished the Cryptic Memories bonus week, but that runs from Friday the 21st of June 2024, 4 p.m. UTC, to Monday the 1st of July 2024, 4 p.m. UTC. And same as last time, I think, for Cryptic Memories, all actions wield 1.331 times AP. Hacks on friendly portals wield 1.33 times amount of gear. And then available in the Ingress store, there are the badges similar to last time. We've got two anime characters and one supporter medal. So this is from the 17th of May 2024 to the 30th of June 2024. We don't have any images for these badges yet, but there's a Buried Memories loadout kit with Jahan 2024 medal, which is 30,800 CMU. A Buried Memories loadout kit with Jack Norman 2024 medal, 30,800 CMU. And a limited time Buried Memories supporter medal with the Buried Memories supporter medal, which is 30,800 CMU. So last time we had two enlightened anime characters from the Ingress anime. This time we've got two resistance ones and the supporter medal. So this seems pretty standard going forward. I think there's still quite a few anime characters they can get through for various factions if that's what they're going for. It's worth noting we don't yet have details of what happened with the Cryptic Memories lore changing the faction of a redacted person that some people thought might be one of the anime characters coming into whatever timeline we're in now for Ingress, but we don't have any details on that as yet. But that's Buried Memories. It's quite a lot to take in. There's always a massive text post that the Ingress team will update as it moves forward. I think having the Google Calendar links are quite handy on there to add them to your device and then get the details on there, especially with the portal immunity coming up. It'd be handy to know when that's going to happen in your time of the world so you can be prepared. But as I said, that's it for Buried Memories. So I'd like to hear what you all think, and then I'll get moving on to our next section. Not long after I finished recording the last episode, the Ingress team updated the Ingress app, so we're now on version 2.138.1, and in this app it shows the new Golden logo for the Buried Memories Anomaly Season, and they note the fixes are that they fix the daily bounties not resetting at midnight local time, which previously required restarting the app to take new bounties. So now if you're playing at 11:59 PM and it ticks over, you won't need to reopen the app to get new daily bounties, they should just appear. They also fix the XM collection pending animation, the tadpole, and reduce XM motility. So you may have seen this on the previous forums where agents reported that XM was kind of swimming around and looked like tadpoles. That's been fixed. There's also an additional note for Android use on their app. So Niantic talk about the streak remind notification and how it will send you a notification if you haven't hacked a portal in 25 hours. They've also switched from the now depreciated safety net to the Google Play Integrity API. So phones now need to pass at least a basic integrity check to be able to download Ingress. And that can fail if the phone's rooted or running on a custom OS on Android. So some agents have faced issues with this and had to sideload the app from APK sites to get it working. So maybe it's a bit too strict at the moment in what it's allowing and not allowing. But if you are having issues, then you can either wait to update and not update yet, or you can find another way of getting the APK and getting Ingress downloaded and working, because that seems to be fine. This only affects Android devices. Everything seems okay for iOS users at the moment, but just to be aware of that, I'll get moving on to our next section. Since our last podcast, we also had April Fool's Day, which the Ingress team celebrates by using toast, and they've produced a series of images which have now been catalogued under the Muse on the Ingress site. These had a variety of passcodes in, generally for 1XM each, and they have also added the Breakfast of Champions pack for 2,500 CMU in the store, and that includes the Toast Day 2022 badge, so it's not a new badge, one kinetic capsule, 3 level 4 resonators and 3 level 4 XMP bursts. There's additionally 3 toast beacons to claim for free on the store. Just a note with the badge, as I said, it's not a new badge, it originally came out in 2022. So if you do already own the Toast Day 2022 badge, you can still buy the bundle However, it won't give you a new badge. So just be aware and check on your profile to see if you do already own the badge. No point getting duplicate badges, really. But it's a fun little thing they've done, and agents are obviously keen to find all the details, entering all the codes. It's still available at the moment as of the 6th of April. It's not been announced yet when it will go down. I'd imagine it'll be up for about a week and then it will go. So if you do want to get the Toast Day 2022 badge, please go and do that. And as I said, there's three Toast Beacons to claim for free. It's a free 1500 AP, even more with Apexes, things like that. So worth grabbing those as well. Another Ingress event will happen by the time you see this podcast as well, being the first Saturday for April. That's happening on the 6th of April. So this is where you go out and explore a new area, meet up with agents, and it's a nice introduction to the game for your first small event. As of January, these can't be done online to earn the badge anymore, so you have to attend in person. And there were some issues with the Ingress first Saturday site for Fev Games. I believe that's now been fixed, so just don't panic if you weren't able to access it previously. But do go out and see if you can explore and get your first Saturday medal ticked up. Obviously, next time, unfortunately, if you're listening to this on Sunday, you've already missed it for April, but you can join in the ones for May, June, the rest of the year from there. We've also had two changes to the scanner related to Apex. So on the 3rd of April, agents noticed that there was a new kinetic capsule program. So as with all the regular ones, it's 8 kilometers to complete, but it will turn one Apex that doubles the AP earned for 30 minutes into 20 level 8 resonators. And it's not a great trade to me, but I know some agents don't like having Apex to use or don't want to activate them for whatever reason. So if you don't want to do that but want to get the resonators, you can then run that kinetic capsule program. And another thing that was introduced at the same kind of time was the option to directly recycle Apex from your inventory. It does come up with a pop-up message to confirm. And notes you are recycling a premium item. Do you absolutely want to proceed? And then from there you say yes, no. It's the only one that's recyclable at the moment. I just want to note that the similar item in Pokemon Go, a lucky egg, has been recyclable for quite some time, maybe since this introduction. So it's not an uncommon thing to have happened in Niantic games. Maybe they've just copied the code over and done that. But I know some agents were quite vocal about it in the forums before, maybe not as vocal as I've been about FitRec rewards. If that's the next thing you want to implement Niantic, that'd be nice. But it's nice to see that it's there as an option. It's not one that I'll be using myself, but it's there if you do want to do it. Following the Ingress team stating that the Ingress community forums would close and go into read-only mode on the 1st of April. This actually finally happened on the 3rd of April, 2 days later. So you can now no longer post in the Ingress community forums, and they will be deleted on or around the 15th of April. And they encourage agents to use r/ingress for any updates and news, and hinted they might do AMAs there. And people were a bit concerned about any important information being lost on the forums. I mentioned last time that I didn't know what the Ingress Plus team would do next, and what they've done next is backed up the Ingress community forums. So I'll provide a link where you can explore the forums on there and get all the important information that was posted on there, and see basically an archive of the forums that's preserved on that website. And the last few days of the forums, people were just basically wondering when it was going to close down. So those will be the most recent posts you'll see. But there's also on there an AMA from Brian that was done via Campfire that may be important that you want to flick through, and any other details just to look back on the forum. So I'll share, as I said, the link in the show notes. It's backed up and you can read anything you want to from there. Also on the 3rd of April, the Not Niantic Labs Telegram account shared an update that they'd received of an unofficial Ingress report video. And agents may remember the Ingress reports that the team used to do. And this one, it says it's done by Alicia Moya. It's not an official episode of the Ingress report, but it does capture the feel of the previous ones. And it recaps the events of Cryptic Memories and looks forward to Buried Memories. And it's a very nicely done YouTube video with details about what the battles were, where they happened, things like that. And it was claimed that it wasn't known the origin of it, but it's been revealed since that it's done by agents Cod Bill and Adam and Kate Vinci. And we're looking forward to more episodes coming on there. It ends with a little teaser about what might be coming up in future episodes, and it recaps everything pretty nicely, as said on there. With the visuals and everything, it's just a nice job than I've done on some of these recaps, so I'd encourage you to watch that and listen to this podcast. Do both if you can, and make sure you're caught up on everything that's been happening. I'd hope we get the next one either partway through Buried Memories or at the end of Buried Memories to give us an update on what's been going on there. It's also been shared by official Niantic channels since, because they love the energy behind the report and what's been put into there. So it's reached a nice wide audience as well. And so I'll be watching future videos. I watched it as soon as I saw the ping from Not Niantic Labs when I was out on my Ingress walk. So I was doing Ingress, watching YouTube, and trying to multitask as best I could whilst on that walk as well, and shared it with Ingress agents I know from there. I'll link to it in the show notes if you've not seen it yet. I encourage you to watch it. Before we move into looking at Ingress adjacent things such as Wayfarer and talking about what Brian's been tweeting about this week and features as well, I'm going to move on and have our interview with Agent X. So that's up next. Hello agents, and welcome to a special section of the Ingress Insights podcast where we have an interview with an agent, and this week we have an interview with the agent Agent X. We'll start off from a few little bits to get to know Agent X first of all. So what faction are you and why are you called Agent X? I guess it'd be a good start.
So I am Resistance. I currently am in the Pacific Northwest of the United States, out of Idaho specifically. Agent X came about because I am I'm a big comic book fan. Big fan of the character of Deadpool, have been for many, many years. But you know, when I chose my agent name, Deadpool was already taken, because it's a popular name. Other people like him as well. And during the comic book run, there was a issue where Deadpool had been thought to have been killed, and somebody else had kind of taken up his moniker. He didn't know who he was, but he went by the code name of Agent X. So it's kind of
very pretty well
into Deadpool's lore. So I kind of, it worked out. It works out good for being an agent in Ingress as well. So it does work out.
Better than being named something to do with Pokemon for me. I'm sure that gets the odd looks for having Pokemon Trainer J on Ingress.
Yeah.
And obviously one of the main bits of Ingress is those of Magister, and whether it's anomaly ones or regular gameplay ones. So which one are you most proud of having yourself on your profile?
On my badges, I'm really good. I've really been working on I've got platinum right now of it. It's the Pioneer badge, but just the unique captures, and just, you know, kind of show how many places have I been. Boise is not a small town, but it's not a large town. I think the last time when I was making some missions, you know, it kind of shows you how many are in a certain area. And I think there's only like 9,000 in the valley that I live in. And I'm currently at 16,700 or something, about 3,200 away from Onyx. So, I mean, it shows that I've been able to travel and go and capture some other unique portals all over the place. So that's kind of the one that I've been proud of, and that shows I've actually been there and seen those things. So
Is that the, because obviously on the Ingress app, there's lots of different layers. Do you have the layer on to your unique visits and know you've got to go and capture that portal over there
oh
to get
yes, I
one?
put the red rings. I want the red rings on my all my portals.
And then something else we have a lot in Ingress is, well, maybe not so much at the moment, but we used to have lots of lore and other characters that show up at like live events and things like that. Is there a favorite Ingress character or favorite piece of lore that you've seen explored through your time playing?
I mean, I've been playing almost since the beginning. I came in a couple months towards the very end of their beta testing period. I miss the Ingress Report with Susanna Moyer, and I met her and Hank Johnson in Oakland after the Oakland anomaly. They are very nice people, both in character and out of character. I was a little disappointed. Hank Johnson was supposed to be at the Los Angeles anomaly last year, and unfortunately, he had some personal issues that he couldn't get away from. So that was a little disappointing not to be able to see him again, because it sounded like he was ready to get back into it and really kind of move the lore along. I think he's been kind of that one character that has really taken to Ingress. Whether he actually plays or not, I don't know, but I mean, he's in the anime. He did a lot of the stuff with a lot of the other events that had been going on around the
Yes, he's
world.
done it
So,
quite a few, hasn't he? So,
yeah.
and just something for my own curiosity now you've mentioned it, at an Ingress event where someone does attend as a character, is there a clear time when they're in character and then out of character? Does it hit end of the anomaly and they're out of character and then it goes from there, or?
Most of the time that I've talked to them, they've all been pretty good at being in character. The gal who played Clue, I was able to talk to her in Portland, and I was actually trying to ask her some like questions about her real life and stuff like that, and she kind of really pushed me off on that. It's just like, oh no, this is what I do all the time. So she stayed in character pretty well. Eventually we got to talking just about normal things, but she was pretty cool too.
Oh, that's cool. I've not yet been to an event where there's been in-person characters, but I'm hoping there's more coming. It sounds like you said, the person who plays Hank Johnson is still keen to do Ingress-related things when he can. So I'm hoping that does happen and we get maybe a UK anomaly. It'd be nice to not have travel far. So obviously we've had updates from Q2, so we know what's coming up there. But if you could, I don't know, have an Ingress genie that would grant you one Ingress related wish, what would that be? Whether it's coming in Q3, 4, later down the line?
I've actually been thinking about this recently, and one of the things, if I were to be able to talk to the developers and say, hey, this is what I think should happen, this is something we should do, I think we need to make link amps great again. And what I mean by that is they've made it now so that we can link underneath fields. But if you like the link amp, when you're looking at it, it says it extends the distance by twice as much if you place that onto a portal. So why is it not going now from 2 kilometers to 4 kilometers if you put a link amp on a portal if you're underneath the field? You should be able to do that. And the same thing with the soft bank. It's supposed to be 5 times the link distance underneath the field. So once again, why can't we go from 2 kilometer distance to 10 kilometer distance in that regard? It's like, just make the link amps work, whether they're under a field or not. Right now they're technically, I think they're broken if it's underneath the field. I'm sure there's lots of people out there who they're already mad that we can link under fields
I was
anyways.
going to come to that.
But
There's kind of divided people on linking into fields, whether it was good or bad. I know when people were playing quite a lot, like 5, 10 minutes before an event, I'd find myself in a giant blue field and couldn't do a lot. So I'm quite happy that I can link under fields now.
I am too. I think it's one of the best things they've done recently. And I think that's just one of those, let's make those link amps work. Give us reason to use them besides, throwing them on somebody's portal and flipping it the other color so that makes them mad or whatever it is. Make them
And then,
useful.
is there anything else you'd tell the Ingress team kind of directly if they were listening? I know in the last episode, we had someone leave a voice message for Brian about Machina fields and things like that.
Anything else, if like the Ingress team was listening, I think there's some other things that they could do to either give added value to subscription people, like a souvenir key locker. You know, it's like maybe that'd be part of a subscription to where you could throw a key in there and make you can't use the key anymore, but you could pull it up anytime you wanted to see it, but you can't interact with it at all, but have it be something out of inventory. Because again, like with my Pioneer, the places that I've been, you know, I've got keys to Hawaii, I've got keys to New York, I've got keys to Disneyland, things that I want to keep and hold on to, because it's like every once in a while it's kind of fun to pull up the castle in Disneyland and see, oh, is it green today? Is it blue today? What's going on? So, and just see what's there or see if there's anything new. And oh, maybe I need to book a trip and go back and get all those uniques. So, I'd
It's
love to
nice to be
see
able to
something like
look and
that.
see where you've been and how it's changed since. I know I'll sometimes text them and be like, oh, this has had a new description because of a new roller coaster at this theme park or something like that. All those little things.
Oh, yeah.
So, with obviously the Q2 events have been announced, how do you feel about any of those? You were planning to attend any of those anomalies for Buried Memories or Shard skirmishes if they come near you?
If something comes closer than what it is right now, I'm always open to going. It's hard to get away. Most of my vacation time is we decide all that at the beginning of the year. So I've had a couple of times where it's lined up and I've been able to get away. But I am planning. They did bring up the Q3 stuff. Seattle is on the list, which is not very far from me. It's only about an hour and 20-minute flight, and fairly cheap from where I am. So that could easily be done. So I'm looking at that for in September, but that's Q3.
So nothing for Q2 you're thinking of getting to unless there's like a Shard skirmish that comes near you, more focused on Q3 for
Yeah, I
Seattle.
haven't seen anything close enough. Maybe some stuff in Southern California or in California or something like that, but we'll see what pops up, because they haven't announced all or like the all the shard stuff yet, have they? I haven't seen
No,
it.
just there's a Shard skirmish. It's happening in 25 locations, about all we've got at the minute.
Yeah, if something comes near, that'd be awesome.
And obviously, there are still mission days coming up in Q2, and you've mentioned that you were looking to do something with a mission day. So I wonder if you could give a bit of a behind the scenes peek at how that is and what you've had to do.
Yeah, this is the third time I've been involved in creating a mission day. We've done two in my town of Boise. We are planning another one, or we have planned another one for April 27th in Nampa, Idaho. It's about 20 miles away. We just finished up together with the my counterpart on the Enlightened. We just finished up getting all the missions put together and getting the themes all done and everything like that. We had a guy making a map, mission map, ready to go. So we're all ready for this other mission day, for the mission day coming here. Been advertising it out in the local areas and the regional chats and getting it out there and letting people know. It's like, hey, if you want to participate, come on over to Nampa, Idaho, and have a good day. Process-wise, it's fairly easy. It's just like making missions. Niantic does have a set of guidelines that you have to follow. They kind of want everything to be themed. So you can't just pick an area and then just pick six random portals. They kind of like it to have some sort of theme. So like we're in the downtown area of Nampa. I think we've got four or five missions in this downtown core area, where one is about businesses and restaurants to go to. So each one of the portals is that you're going to is a restaurant. Another one is about the murals that are on the walls. So each one you go to is about the murals. They have a roller rink. So I mean, that one's kind of a little bit different. We just kind of picked six close ones right around the roller rink. We went to Nampa City Hall. There would be the Nampa Library, and they're all themed like that. We picked some other places. There's a university nearby. So we got a couple of missions in and near the university. So that's kind of the way to do it. The thing you got to go out do and They give you guidelines on, it's like, okay, get pictures of each of your missions. They give you the template to use for creating the mission day badges, so that each one of them, they're all going to look uniform across the entire thing. We partnered with the city of Nampa, so we actually have an official logo for the city of Nampa, so we'll be able to use that on our mission days. If you don't get a partner, Niantic has a generic mission day badge that you can use and put in, so that's always good. But I mean, it's a fairly simple process. It's just kind of getting it organized, putting it all together, getting it on paper, transferring it over into the mission creator tool, and then letting Niantic know that it's there and it's ready. Niantic then logs into your account and takes your missions and then puts it on, and then they take credit for making them all. So
That you mentioned obviously having a partner in Napa to do that. How did you kind of explain that to them? Say there'll be a bunch of people walking around your town, it will help tourism and things like that.
that's kind of how we approached it. We just said, it was like, hey, this is a virtual reality game. It's been around for 10 years or whatnot. One of my partners on the Enlightened, she actually works for the city of Nampa, so she had some inside knowledge on how to or who to go to and see what we could get. So she sent off some emails and talked to some people and kind of told them what we were doing. And the best thing is just like either, talking to the local chamber of commerce, if you've got a local visitors bureau, even just talking to City Hall. We've had problems in the past of just like when I did these ones for Boise City did not want to, they only let their logo out for official Boise City events. So they don't let you do anything for that. But going to the Chamber of Commerce, they had a logo we could use. And then we went to the Downtown Boise Association. They had a logo we could use, and they're nice logos. And it's something to put on there to when people do come, then they've got a remembrance. It's just like anytime you go and you do a mission banner or whatnot, it's to remember your time at that location. Give you a permanent record. It's like, hey. Oh, I'm looking back in my timeline. Oh, hey, that's when I went to Boise, or that's when I went to Hawaii, or that's when I went to Los Angeles, something like that. Just a nice reminder so you can kind of see what's going on.
To go through and see where you've been via the missions and be like, oh yeah, I did Second Sunday in that city, or did a load of missions there, so you can see. So
Yeah,
I've
we
not
have
done.
a one of our local Enlightened players. She likes to make mission banners specific for each month. And so she'll pick a different town and make mission banners out of those portals, and then a bunch of people will show up and do them together, because she does tell people, it's like, hey, it's going to be up for 3 weeks, and then she pulls it down and makes another one for the next month.
Yeah, you only have so many missions, Div, can't you, as a creator? I think it's 180 off the top of my head.
I thought maybe 150, maybe 180. They might have
Yeah.
changed it. I'm not
I know it
close,
upped
so.
at one point during the pandemic and stuff, but then don't think it went back down. So if you're making it, like you said, if she does missions every month, then it's not going to be conducive to keep them up all the time. Makes sense to take them down. And then obviously the other big bit of Ingress news, I guess, happened recently was that the Ingress community forums are going to close tomorrow, basically, as we're recording this. So they'll
Yeah.
be in read-only mode as everyone looks at it. Do you feel that's the right decision or something that was inevitable or?
Well, I think it doesn't appear that a lot of the Ingress team had been on the forums in recent months anyways. So it's kind of one of those, they've moved on. Obviously, I've seen more of their posts on Reddit and whatnot versus the forum. It might be a good thing. I think, I haven't used the forum in a while. I think there's a lot of people that have been entrenched in whatever faction war they've got going on this month or whatever everybody's mad about. So it might be a good thing to kind of shake it up a little bit, get some people thinking about different ideas and stuff like that, especially over on Reddit. Who knows? We'll see how it goes. We'll see if they if they end up bringing it back. It sounds like everything else is changing, the way they do their forums on Wayfarer and Pikmin and Monster Hunter. They're all
Monster,
getting
yeah.
new
So they're all
forums.
moving across to something
Yeah.
else that I don't know what yet as recording some other platform for forums. I say, be a pain that it's not there, but like you say, I think the Ingress team drops off it quite some months ago.
Oh yeah. I don't
Maybe we'll
think
get
Brian
some.
Rose has even posted on the bugs portion of the, which is where he used to hang out a lot more.
Left in Ingress, do we? Surely. So if people want to find out more about you, where do they go to find that out or see what you're up to?
Social media, I'm a little bit of a recluse, but I do have an X account. So Agent X 1976, which is the same as my game name. I'm on there. I have done some TikToks on doing some Wayfair stuff because I'm pretty big into doing the Wayfair. That is Agent X underscore Wayfinder on TikTok if you want to look at those. I haven't done anything in a while. I've got some ideas on what I want to do going forward. I got to see if I can get some video editing going on because I'd kind of like to. What's going on in my head? I don't think I can just do it by recording video, so I got to do a little bit of editing. We'll see if I can make that happen and bring that back. But that's probably the best thing. I am on Reddit, the same thing, Agent X 1976, and Telegram as well. So anybody, I mean, the Telegram is the big one for Ingress. I think most Ingress players are on there at least somehow. That's the easiest way to find me.
Thank you for listening. I'll move you on to whatever I've got recorded next.
Thank you for having me.
A little bit of Ingress adjacent news now. So the Wayfarer, Monster Hunter Now, and Pikmin Bloom forums were already meant to be in read-only mode, much like the Ingress community forum is, and then moved across to a new platform. This hasn't happened yet. There's been some slight delays and small bugs, so it's probably likely to happen next week. So week commencing the 8th of April. And just a reminder, they said their forums will be similarly put into read-only mode and then deleted on the 15th of April for all of those. So if there's any important information you want to save from there, they advise doing screenshots and getting bits from the Wayback Machine if you can. Another small piece of Wayfarer news is that the Wayfarer app, at least on test flight on iOS, went down briefly. So any apps up onto test flight stay up for 90 days, because obviously it's just a beta thing. So people don't imagine the apps will be on there long before they're on full release. But the time was left to expire without a new build of the Wayfarer app being available. So it was only for a few hours, but people were a bit distraught it might be going away for good, because it's a handy way to see any Lightship only or Pokemon Go only way spots that don't show on the Ingress map when you're going off to nominate something. At present, Ingress doesn't have the duplicate map check that Pokemon Go has that will show you all nearby way spots when you nominate, so you can end up with getting duplicate rejections when here's something you couldn't see on your map. As I said, now back up and running, and there's been no issues with it on Android. It's still available there, so it's only available for 90 days from today, yesterday. About 90 days from today, anyway, but it would be depreciated and unavailable at some point, the Wayfarer team have said, but they haven't set an exact date for when that will be as yet. And then one last Wayfarer update regarding changes to the machine learning system and updates on how that's doing. So Niantic Tintino on the 4th of April posted about the machine learning system. So under auto accepts, he notes that the improved machine learning models should now be better at identifying high quality way spots and edits that meet our acceptance criteria. This means more eligible submissions can potentially be auto accepted, freeing up your valuable time to focus on the trickier reviews. There's also a continued reviewer role, as people are concerned machine learning might end up doing everything. It says that Wayfarer reviewers remain an essential part of the Wayspot review process. Even with the updated auto-accept system, your reviews are still crucial for ensuring Wayspot quality and adherence to our guidelines. The machine learning models trained on and learned from the data provided by the Wayfarer community, including reviews, appeals and takedowns. He also shared that you can now appeal a rejected Wayspot every 20 days. That was previously every 30 days and moved down to 25. But we're now on every 20 days you can appeal a rejected Wayspot by logging into Wayfarer and clicking appeal and providing extra information as to why you think this should have been accepted. I'll follow on here and just carry on with some more Wayfarer updates. So they're also refunding upgrades that were used on nominations that either got rejected by machine learning that were later overturned through appeal, or they were initially processed by machine learning and passed to the human team for final decision. And that's for nominations made since June 2023 and after. So if you see some upgrades that got refunded in your Wayfarer account, that will be where they've come from. And then a recent update from today, the 6th of April, is that you can now change your bonus location. So generally that comes with a Wayfarer challenge, but there's not one this time around. But you can now change your bonus location as many times as you want between now and Tuesday, April 9th at 5 p.m. PDT. And then after that time, you'll be able to change your bonus one more time, so you won't end up stuck in your Russia as people have been done on previous challenges. So if you use Wayfarer for nominating Wayspots to become portals, then you can get on and do that and update your bonus location. That's all the Ingress adjacent news we've got. So now I'm going to move on and see what Brian's been talking about on Twitter this week.
You're no one if you're not on Twitter, and if you aren't there already, you've missed it.
So this week, from Brian Rose, the game director of Ingress on Twitter, it's been a fairly quiet week in terms of responses from him. So there's only two that I'm going to really cover over. So one was from an agent, Sacer.Icer, who's Enlightened according to their Ingress and according to their Twitter username. And they tweeted in Japanese, which has been auto-translated by Google for me, so let me know if I get anything wrong. And they just tweeted at him and say, "Hey Brian, let me just say one thing, the medal is super cool." And they're talking about the Buried Memories medal. And Brian replied back to say, "Our artist was reading everyone's feedback. Thank you for your kind words." Just one I want to highlight, because I know there's been concerns that AI is designing all the badges, but it seems like this one was done by an actual person, going by what Brian has said. I then use the Ingress Insights Twitter account that I don't really use a lot to ask about the Apex changes. Say, was there a reason that this feature was prioritized over others that agents have requested for a while? Brian came back on the 4th of April to say, "We look at agent feedback, design and engineer difficulty, and forecasted impact when prioritizing our product backlog. But team members also nominate feature requests and issues they're interested in working on. We debate and discuss, and that helps me make the call." So that's why it's discussed in the Ingress team on there. I don't know if it's discussed anything I've raised, like fit rep rewards or having the duplicate nominations on the Ingress map so we don't nominate duplicates. That'd all be nice things, Brian, that people have requested for some time. If you want to get a start on any of those, if they don't take too much time, that'd be great. But as I said, it's only a short one for what Brian's sent messages about this week. I do occasionally look at what Thea sent out and things like that. I'll include them on here if needed going forward. But that's it for Twitter for this week.
The Twitterverse is full of rubbish.
Rubbish.
But most of us are really quite refined.
Thank you, agents, for listening to this week's episode of the Ingress Insights podcast. Thank you again to Agent X for coming and speaking with us about their experience with Ingress and how it works behind the scenes with mission days. And I hope to have more people on as we go forwards with the podcast and have a few more special and bonus episodes too. If you want to follow us on social media, best way to do that is via Instagram and Threads under the name ingress.insights. And If you enjoy the show, if you want to rate on your podcast service of choice, that's always helpful. If you have any feedback to share, you can answer the polls or you can send us a voice message, which we'll feature in upcoming shows. Just let us know your agent name and kind of what you're talking about before I get into it, so I know what to expect. But that's all from me for this week, because it's been a very, very long episode compared to when I started, and they were 10 to 15 minutes long. So I'll let you all get back to your Sundays and then look to speak about the buried memories global op next time.